Mark chapter 9. Was totally somewhere else, preparing somewhere else, and God wrecked my message at about 4 o'clock this afternoon. And when I first seen this, the only thing I could think of was Sunday morning. I'm like, yeah, Lord, that's a good Sunday morning message. It's going to be fire. And he's like, no, it's going to be a good Wednesday night message. So that means I'm going to have to really prepare to get ahead on Wednesday, on Sunday now, right? But the reason that he wanted me to preach this on Wednesday night is because it's going to get kind of real. And I'm hoping that since most of you here know me pretty well, that y'all won't run me off after this message. Okay. I didn't get the vote of confidence I needed right there. So Mark chapter 9, verse 14, let's just jump in it. I don't know if I want to title it the same as what I'm kind of getting is, but let's just say when church or when doing right don't seem to work. Whew. Y'all all right? Okay. Mark chapter 9, verse 14, and when he came to his disciples, you see that? Is that where y'all are at? And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. Y'all seeing that? Where's Jesus coming from? Mount of Transfiguration. He's got three of his disciples with him, the inner circle, right? Peter, James, and John. They're glowing, literally, right? They went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus, God speaks, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. All of a sudden, Moses and Elijah show up. Y'all remember this? And Jesus transfigures into the form, his heavenly form, right in front of them. Remember, Peter kind of freaks out and says, let's build three tabernacles. You know, he didn't know what to do. He says, let's just build three tabernacles. I mean, there's three people up there in Jesus, God and Elijah and Moses. And he's, let's get a building program going. Now, y'all, never mind. Let me go ahead and get a little bit deeper in that. When Peter writes his epistles, when he's old and about ready to pass, when he writes his epistles, he doesn't talk about the resurrected Jesus. Whew. He talks about the Mount's Transfiguration Jesus. Y'all get that? When he writes about the experience of the resurrection, he did not write about when he seen Jesus. Remember, go tell the disciples and Peter. He didn't tell about when he sees him on the shoreline and he jumps out of the boat and feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. I mean, it looks like you would be saying that Jesus. Really, you know what he said? I seen the finished product. We went up onto the Mount of Transfiguration and he transformed into who he is when he's in heaven. And I seen it. And that changed me. It didn't change me enough, but it changed me to realize that's the finish line. God, y'all get the author and finisher of my faith, the finish line we're running to, he's seen it. You get it? He's like, oh, my, there, that's good. Then he received the Holy Spirit, and he's willing to die for it. Y'all, it's different. Well, they're coming down. Those three are hooking up with the 9, 10, 11, 12. Is that right? He left 9 down here. Jesus and the three went up to the top of the mountain. They're coming back from an experience like no other. Come on, y'all. I know there's one of you in here that can't keep a secret. Amen? I know there's one. Is there anybody else in here when you buy Christmas gifts, you almost want to give them away in November? Right? You get them, and all of a sudden you see your kids, you're like, yo, I ain't going to believe what I got you. And they're like, what is it? I ain't going to tell you, but you can have one of them now. Right? Yeah, anybody in here else like that? I know one. I know one. All right. I know one. I got your Father's Day present about a month away. Take a look at it. Yeah. All right. Jesus shows them the finished product of who he is in glory. Y'all, He unwraps himself. The gift is, he comes out of the flesh and says, this is who I really am, boys. Amen? So they seen the, they said, God, y'all going to get this? This ain't even where I'm trying to preach at. Let's tell you where I'm at. He unwrapped the Christmas gift. Get it? No, see, I'm tying it in now. He unwrapped the Christmas gift early. Right? You want to look, take a look and see who I am? Past all this, right? And then he tells them, don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. They come off that mountain was like, you know? And but when they come down, they find the other disciples arguing with the scribes. Jesus can't leave the church 5 minutes and they're arguing with religious people. Y'all get it? Be careful that when Jesus ain't around that all of a sudden you start arguing with religious people and having arguments and disagreements and lose focus on the main thing, which is God who went up there and He is coming back. So if He went up there, He is coming back. If He went to heaven, He is coming back. Let's not get off focus and let the whole world die lost while we're arguing with religious people and amongst ourselves. So that's enough to go home on, right? And Jesus came down and seen them, just kind of caught them red-handed. Three of them were going out of their mind bonkers because they seen something amazing. The rest of them, all nine of them, are in a religious dispute, and God showed up, and they're like, well, hey, come here and show these idiots. We want Jesus. Hey, Jesus, come over here and wear these people out. Y'all good? Well, let's get into it. Y'all ready? And straightway, all the people. Now, see, when Jesus, God, y'all, man, I'm going to have to contain myself tonight, y'all. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld Him, were greatly amazed, and running to Him, saluted Him. When Jesus came back, the people came back. If we got Jesus, we'll get the people. Amen? You get rid of the people, if you get rid of Jesus, you're going to have argument. Complain, all the trouble. You get Jesus in it, then the right people will come. Man, all the people came. Now, what were the people doing before Jesus came back? They were arguing, but they were also watching the disciples who loved Jesus argue with the scribes, the religious people, and nobody was getting help. If you're not careful, you'll get into an argument, even a spiritual one, while other people are dying lost. Man, there were real needs to be met. The apostles had the goods. They had Jesus. They had the ability. They had the story. They had the truth. But they would rather argue with somebody who didn't have it. Whew. In verse 16, I love this part. I'm not going to get all sideways in it, but I think it's pretty cool. And He, that's Jesus, asked the scribes, what question ye with them? Whew! Man, is that not intense? Ain't that kind of cool? Jesus, now listen, He's not pleased. He's showing His back to His disciples. He's not pleased with them either. Amen? Right? You might want to make a note right there. He's not pleased with you either when you're in spiritual debate. Amen? And you've taken your eyes and focus off the main goal, and you're winning the argument because you got Jesus with you, and you're doing and you're having him. But lost people are seeing you argue, and they're just saying, man, what are they doing? What are they arguing about? Well, our Bible and our music and our church and our deal and our denomination and our deal, and this way we dress, man. And they're sitting there going, well, what does it matter to us? We're, you know. I'm blind, I'm sick, I'm deaf, I'm hurting, I'm hung up on that cancer, I've got diabetes, I'm dying long, nobody in my family say, what does it matter to me? You know, we're not really concerned with what you're concerned, and they're arguing about this and that. Well, y'all need to be circumcised, and y'all need to get up here to the temple, you need to sacrifice, you need to come to the, and all the lost people are confused. God, I love this, man. I hope y'all can see like I see it. Man, Jesus walks in and gets right in between them. What are you talking? What are you asking them? Amen? Y'all good? He gets in front of the religious. Y'all got to get back in context. He gets in front of the religious people who are arguing about who he is and who they're following. And he just came down from the Mount of Transfiguration where he ripped off the garment of this flesh and showed himself God. And they're arguing about, is he right? So he's confronting religion, but he's got his back on his people that won't fulfill what they're supposed to do when he's not around. Amen? Well, let me say this. He's always around, but when you don't feel like he's around, and you'd rather have a dispute or you'd rather get distracted than to do what God's called you to do. Because a lot of times that's easier on the flesh. Amen? Y'all good? We're about to get real, okay? Y'all ready to get real with me? I don't know what I'll say tonight. I'm sorry ahead of time. Verse 17, and one of the multitude, thank God. This is about where I feel sometimes. This recently, okay? Recently. And I'm going to be honest with you, and hopefully you can be honest with us and be real with yourself. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He was ticked off. I'm mad. Y'all are having a great spiritual revival. You up there on the mountain, transfiguration. Them three, look, they're glowing. These down here are having a spiritual debate, and they're arguing with the Pharisees and scribes who've really never done nothing with me. And I've come to the church, and I've come to the temple, and I've come to this, and I want some help. My son's in trouble. And he goes, I brought him to the people that I should have brought him to, and guess what? He's got a list of things wrong with him. A list. He was mad. Have you ever been mad and trying to do it right? Man, I wish y'all. Have you ever come to the house of God and it seems like everybody's being blessed, everybody's having a spiritual good time, everybody's, oh, hallelujah, oh, praise God, somebody got saved, somebody got delivered, and guess what? At your house, guess what? All heck's breaking loose. Your dad's dying. Your mom's died. Somebody, you're praying for people and they're getting well. You're talking to people and they're getting right, and your people won't seem to get saved. Oh, now the bell's ringing, another boy got saved. Great, mine's living in sin out there in the world. I can't catch him. Whew. Sometimes I think we'd be more real with God sometimes and talk to him like we do outside the church. We might have better results. Because this guy was fed up. I preached, I prayed, I sang, I drove up and down the road. I'm just venting if y'all don't mind. Preach to this group, man, you're so anointed, you're so blessed, man. That's a powerful word you say, that deliver, that help, that. Well, what about my dad? What's going on with that? What happened about my mom? How about my kids? I come home and somebody, well, guess what? Surprise! What? I can't even breathe. I can't even breathe. That's just one thing after another. God, I'm trying to do. Man, the only miles I got on my car are from the house to the church house, and from there to the hospital, and from there to the pulpit. God, why? You ever been there? Well, if you ain't, you're going to get there eventually in this thing. I brought him. I laid him on the altar. I gave him to the right, and guess what? It nothing happened. Whew. Y'all right? I told you it's going to be real. I thought about saving it for Sunday, but like I said, maybe it's a family thing. I'm doing everything I know to do. All my clothes are church clothes. Amen? I brought my kids to church every time. Raised them in the youth group, prayed over them. They got a profession, baptized them. Other kid, man, bell's ringing next door, another kid's getting delivered as a kid came in on a bus. Why the bus kid getting saved? My kid ain't. Oh, goodness gracious. You all right? He was ticked off. He's upset with God. I brought him. You good? Look, listen, I brought him. Jesus answered him and said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." You know what he said? While the church was arguing and getting caught up in this disagreement, while Jesus was up doing a greater thing, guess what happened? There was a man and a child who was falling to pieces. And Jesus said, "Oh, this generation, how long am I going to have to be with you?" Can I preach right there for a minute? You don't mind? I've never preached out of this section of the Bible before. You know, as a pastor, as a man of God, a lot of times I look around in the church and sometimes we're aggravated and frustrated and worried about the wrong thing. We do. A lot of times we get focused on the wrong thing. We'll get mad and upset and want to leave, quit, or be ticked off, and we won't be ticked off about, one, our sin and lost people. We'll never get ticked off about that. Won't ticked off about how little we've read, how little we've prayed, how little we've attended, how little we've gave, how little we've tried. But the first time somebody does something we don't like, man, I ain't never, I'm so, they hurt my feeling, man. Jesus said, "Oh, faithless generation, while you were doing it all, you could have fasted and prayed and shook me. You could have sent somebody up after me. If you would have looked around, you wasted so much time trying to be right that you didn't help anybody else." In verse 20, and they brought him. What'd Jesus say? He said, "Oh, face." He goes, if you really had me, if you bring him to me, I can fix. Just bring him on to me. Listen, I want a church, so this is what I want at Flat Top Church. This is what I want people to say. You know, what they got up there? You know, we got Jesus. He's the main thing we got. We got program. We got people. We got stuff. We got music. We got preaching. But my goodness, we got Jesus, and we wade off in the water with him. If Jesus wants to turn left, we turn left. If he wants to turn right, we turn right. If he wants to stop, we stop. If he wants to fly down the road, we fly down the road. Amen? They brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him and fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Verse 20, the devil did it in front of Jesus. It's one thing for it to happen at home. It's one thing for him to be drunk out there. Oh, never mind, I'm sorry. It's one for them to act up out there. It's one thing for them to be doing it off somewhere else. But how about when they roll up at the house of God? Well, at least the devil have some respect for Jesus' house, right? He showed out in front of Jesus. I mean, this thing started tearing him and doing what he was in front of God. Ain't it embarrassing when everything you thought was hid behind the doors and when everything is closed up and I'm blessed, highly favored, praise God. Glad to be here, brother, sister, happy. Yeah, because that thing ain't got out and come down to the house of God yet. Huh? It ain't jumped out on the main aisle yet. But when it does, amen? Showing out in front of Jesus. Devil's just showing out in front of Jesus. Tearing to pieces. And I thought, man, what do you think right there? What do you think? When I'm reading this, maybe we're just going line by line right now. What I think, I'm thinking, all right, Jesus, get him. Huh? Get that old devil, Jesus. He's in the microphone. He's in the hairdryer. He was in the car down here. He was in this. He was in that. Get him, Jesus! That's what you're thinking, ain't it? That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, man, he's going to have to get the devil. That devil's got that boy and go get. That's what we keep. Devil, get him! Look, what's this? Wait a minute. Y'all got to see it. I'm going to get that. Y'all still with me? Y'all, I must be doing good. Praise God, because guess what? Y'all are quiet. Sometimes I want you to be loud, but it's hard to be loud when you have an operation in it. Patients don't talk. This ain't no day surgery. We're in there, we're deep in, right? And you're on anesthetic right now. He don't talk to the boy. He don't talk to the boy. He don't even talk to the devil. How long has he been this way? Who's he talking to? He's talking to the daddy. He's talking to the one who brought the problem to him, who was upset, and guess what? The one who was dealing with all the trouble. We're saying, get the kid, get the devil, and God's saying, I kind of want to get you. Huh? Because maybe if I can get you, I can get the kid, and I can get the devil. Amen? Because you keep blaming the kid, but I want to know, how long has this been going on? Because if it's temporary, it's a him thing, but if it's been a while, you've helped raise it. Whew. You've ignored some signs. Right? And he said, since he's been a child, since he's been a kid, he's been this way the whole time. Huh? Whew. Well, this ain't just a him problem. This is a you and him problem. Well, let's get to work at the source. See, we keep praying for people out there. Won't get that. They get that. I need to get my brother, my sister, my husband. Well, wait a minute. Why don't we get you too? Why don't we get your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul? Why don't we get your sin under control? Oh, never mind. why don't we pull some of your demons under control too? Amen. Because we're big. As long as somebody sins bigger than us, we'll be all right. Amen. But when God really said, no, how long has it been going on since he was a boy? Well, who was the only man around that show him? I'm sorry. It's quiet in here now. He asked him, and he asked his father, how long is it since it came unto him? And he said, since he was a child. And oftentimes it had cast him in the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Boy, great prayer. Well, guess what he said? He's been trying to kill him. He ain't listen. The devil's been trying to kill everybody. If they're still alive and you're still alive, God's still working. Get to work on it. Amen? Get serious about it. Some of y'all have already resigned some problems to never getting fixed. Amen? That ain't God. That's the devil. He's waged a campaign on you. You better just give up. That's rhetoric. That ain't never going to change. That's always going to be the way it is. Listen to this. That's not God. Amen? That's the devil. He said he'd been throwing him in the fire and the water. And he's been doing it to him. He's trying to kill him. You know some people that the devil's been trying to kill? I think I was on God's on the devil's hit list all the way up until I got saved. Amen? Then he got serious after I got saved, but... Man, I was on the. I can tell you times. I flew into Rota, Spain drunk. Amen? Drunk on an airplane that was about to crash, and it didn't crash. The only reason it didn't crash is because God showed me later on, one, he had a call on life, and two, my daddy had been praying for me. You don't ever want to hear this right here. We're on a Navy flight flying into Rota, Spain, and the captain come over and said, sit down. End. Buckle up, end. And the plane just go. And you're looking at each other and going, this is not good. And all of a sudden the plane flattens out and we land, step out on the runway, and my buddy taps me, and I'm about half out of my mind, and we look down the runway and all the emergency vehicles are turning around going the other way with their lights on. Right? I'm like, man, why didn't I die right there? Prayer, calling. Amen? He wants to destroy me by fire, by water. Amen? He wants to destroy you by fire and by water. But if they're still alive, you're still alive, your kid's still alive, pray for them. Grandkids still alive. You pray for them. You pray like crazy. Let's go a little further. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. Who? Who's he talking to? Still talking to the Father, ain't he? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Man, this, hey, y'all remember what? How did he come? Remember when he first came to him? He was aggravated. God doesn't mind your aggravation. He don't mind your frustration. He doesn't mind. He likes real, just like you do. Amen? He came to him, and he was frustrated, but watch this right here. Y'all good? Look how it ends with him. Watch. And straightway the father of the child cried out. Different, ain't it? And said with tears. Hello? Y'all good? See it? Y'all see that? He cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. God, fix me that I can believe in you for my son, for my family, and for this devil to be gone. Help. Some of y'all need to start making that your prayer. God, help my unbelief. Amen? That's what's stopping a lot of things from happening in your life, is every time you go to thinking about it, then the devil comes in and you believe the devil more than you believe God. Amen? I'll believe him, you know. I love this. Y'all good? Watch this. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. Hey, can I be real with you right here? Oh, gosh, I don't know if y'all can handle it. Look at this. Listen. God fixes some people so good, at first the cure feels worse than the sickness. I thought y'all get a better response off that. Okay, right when people are changing and God is fixing, sometimes the situation can go looking worse, but it's getting better. Amen? The daddy's probably like this. I didn't mean for you to kill him. Amen? I mean, I did want the devil out of him, and this has been the quietest he's been for a while, if we be real. Amen? But I didn't want him dead. I just want him whole. Amen? Listen, I'm preaching right here better than y'all going to let on, but look, watch this right here. Let God have his work. And when it seems like it's killing them, it's healing them. Amen? Oh, I'd put that on a bumper sticker. When it seems like it's killing them, it's healing them. Amen? Oh, God, I think I'm going to have to intervene. Don't. You don't see where the daddy jumped down there on him, do you? Everybody else said, he looks dead. He looks worse than he was. I ain't done with him yet. Amen? Getting devils down ain't easy. And it ain't gonna be pretty work. I wish there was, every once in a while, when I say some good stuff, it'd be all right if every once in a while some in here have had some stuff in your life, say, amen, brother. I felt like I died. When God got them out, I feel like I had died. I didn't look like myself for a while. But praise God. Right? Verse 27, but Jesus took him up by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. What? Who did? Who did? Jesus took him, what? Put his hand in his hand? When you get up this time, you're getting up with me. Amen? And when you're going to get up, you're going to rise up. Amen? And when you're going to rise up, you're going to be with me and I'm going to help you. Amen? That's the difference in getting help and getting clean and getting your family. Oh, I'm trying to do better. It's a big difference than doing it yourself in willpower than having Jesus put his hand in your hand and he holds and pulls you up and keeps you going. It's a big difference. If it's just you, you're going to fall back down. If it's God, even if you fall down, he'll pick you right back up. Amen. How many of you got something out of this message tonight? Let's just go ahead and do this. Let's have Betsy come. Everybody stand. God spoke to you. I'm going to give you a chance. With a message like this tonight, I don't think it'd be right without some prayer.